Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, my guest is Frank Amedia. He's a man of God. He has an incredible prophetic anointing. He's been a guest of mine on the podcast many times. In fact, you could check out the Charisma Podcast Network to see some of our other interviews. And today, we're going to talk about the November 3rd election. Of course, so much has happened since then. A lot of us have just been letting the dust settle. And now I think it's important to understand what is going on. Did all the people that said that Donald Trump would be reelected, did they miss God? What does this mean about the prophetic? So stay tuned for my conversation today with Frank Amedia, who started POTA Shield and is also the head Touch Heaven Ministries up in Ohio. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Frank. You and I have become good friends over the years after meeting at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. I'll never forget that. And as I've told my listeners before, you were the first person who I knew personally who in 2015, early 2016, was saying that for certain that you knew that God had raised up Donald Trump and that he was going to be president. And this was when everybody was saying he didn't have a chance, and yet that happened. So, you know, a lot's happened since then. You started POTA Shield. You've been involved in so many different things. What do you think is happening now that the election is over and Joe Biden is now our president?
Thank you, Steve, for having me. And just as a little interlude, our dear friend Barry Siegel says hi to you. We have a long conversation yesterday, and Barry was the person who introduced us.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. And he is stuck here in the States with his wife. They can't get back to Israel because Ben-Gurion shut down. But he does say hi to you. To answer your question, I might have to go roundabout, but at this point, I'm not as focused on the political realm of Joe Biden's presidency or what Donald Trump may or may not be doing or what is the future of the Republican Party and all of the different little political points that are swarming us, immigration, the pipeline. The transgender thing has really rattled a lot of people, as it should. A lot has been done with over 50 different presidential edicts that have come out, which is a swarm. It speaks for itself. We understand what's going on in the progressive side of things and the intentional dismantling of the Trump regime, administration, and legacy. I'd like to take us back to November 3rd. And Steve, you and many out there, probably like myself, we watched the election results. We finally got tired. They began to tell us they were going to suspend them in a lot of places, especially those where we saw that there were a lot of votes yet to come in. Donald Trump was ahead. It looked like he had won the election at 12:31 in the morning. We woke up the next day or whatever it was, and all of a sudden we saw everything turn upside down. Chaos has come. You might recall that I had shared the word of the Lord that was the day before George Floyd was murdered, and that chaos was being released upon this country, and that it would filter through the earth, and that this spirit of chaos and confusion would not rest, that it was that part of that end time dark hour that we've led into. We've seen what's happened. Steve, what happened after that was November 4th, much like everybody else, I went into a little bit of a shock. I was confused because I was one of the first ones after the November 9th victory declared for Donald Trump in 2016. It was in January and February the following year that the Lord spoke to me, and I said what he spoke to me, and that was that it was in his heart for Donald Trump to serve a second term. And of course, I stood strong on that. And as people of faith, when we declare words, we're challenged all the time to try to reason away from the word that's been declared. So I've been trained prophetically and in my own relationship with the Lord to hold fast, somewhat to a fault, I think, this time, and I think many of us did, but I see the reason why. And so November 4th, I sort of shut myself down. I did not respond to any calls. I did not make any messages. I went into fasting and prayer for 3 or 4 days. And what I received was a peace. I didn't receive a word, but I received a peace. And I received the word in my own spirit to just stop the noise, which is what I released, and just to see where the Lord took us. Well, we know what's happened since then, and it's a mess. It's a mess all over the place. But most of all, we have many, many God-fearing, good people in the body of Christ, activists. I call them Christian activists, people who will take the faith and go to work with it, whether the cause be pro-life, whether the cause be the family, morality, Israel, the gospel, the kingdom, good people who have been misguided a lot by leadership. Now, let's break it down. From that point on, my quest and my question as I have pursued the Lord is, Lord, did I miss it? And of course, then you get the accusations of false prophets, false prophecies. Well, of course, I take that very strong. And I've spoken out myself against false prophecies and false prophets in the past. And we certainly don't want to be those who are that, because we fear God, not because we're looking for a title, not because we're looking for affirmation or to grow numbers of followers. I certainly can never be accused of that. On that instance, I have been humbly seeking God, and I've received some wisdom in it. And I just want to share it in a few bullet points, Steve, if that's okay with you.
Well, of course it is. And, you know, there are a lot of people trying to sort through what has happened, including what we're doing at Charisma Media. I wrote a book called God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, and talking about why I felt he must win because of the very serious issues before our country and because of the good job he had done and what would happen if the left got in. And we are seeing it before our eyes. But then I also had a chapter, it was the second chapter in the book, on why he might lose. And it was not prophetic. It was my analysis as a Christian journalist, but some of it kind of looks prophetic because of, you know, what I believe was rampant voter fraud. But we've got to get on beyond that. Joe Biden is our president. And I think it's important for us to analyze this, because a lot of people are taking this as an opportunity to attack the prophets. I always am quick to add that it's the same people who attack them anyway on everything. And when the prophets were right in 2016, they were remarkably silent. Like, they didn't say, oh, well, you know, this is interesting, the prophets got it right. In fact, I wrote my first book, God and Donald Trump, partly to document that happened. And I was all over Christian media and even secular media talking about it. I almost always brought it up. And I was surprised that I wasn't attacked more. It was more like people think, you know, maybe there was something to that. Now, of course, that's all changed. And I think it's important in the body of Christ that we understand what's happening. Prophets are not always right. In fact, Paul said we know in part and we prophesy in part. He tells us to judge prophecies. In the Old Testament, and I'm not a Bible scholar, but I'm a lifelong Bible learner, the prophets were kind of like a role where God would raise up people. But then the Joel 2 prophecies was that when the new covenant came, in other words, the Messiah, Jesus, that our sons and daughters would prophesy. In other words, that we could all prophesy. And we believe that that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. I don't have the gift of prophecy. I've never had the role of prophet. I'm more of a journalist who will report on what people such as yourself and others are saying. And that's what I did in my book. I did not play up the prophecies real big. And the one that I did was Kim Clement, who did, if I remember correctly, there were two of them, one in 07, one in 08. And Kim Clement now, of course, as you probably know, is in heaven. He died the same month that Trump was elected. So there's no way that, you know, that this was manufactured after the fact. you know, to make him look like he was right. And, you know, and also he's dead. So how do you attack a dead man? And my feeling was in the book, hey, the prophets were right once. Maybe they'll be right a second time. But, you know, this is not the end of the world. The progressivism that we are seeing actually started, I believe, with Woodrow Wilson. He was at least the first politician to use that terminology. And we all know what FDR did during his administration in the 20s or in the 30s and 40s. And, you know, in some ways, Biden's not as bad or no worse than Obama. In a lot of ways, we're going back to how things were, at least as far as the government is concerned, you know, when Obama was in. Now, there's also what's happening in the culture, the cancel culture, the big tech censoring, anything that doesn't agree with politically correct thinking, censoring Christians. All of that is new in a way. And I think it's because they're emboldened that they think they have power, they're in control, and they can throw their weight around and they can just censor anyone who doesn't agree with them. Now, my podcast today is to hear more what you're saying, and I'm pontificating, so forgive me, but I just wanted to throw in my perspective because I think that, you know, this is not just one thing that we can say or do where everything is settled. It's more of a process. And that's why I wanted to talk to you to just see how you're handling it, what you hear other ministries saying, and what you see as steps ahead.
And I do appreciate the dialogue, and let us agree to have one or two more of these on this topic as this evolves, as the Lord leads over the next few weeks, because I do believe clarity is necessary. And you coined it properly, Steve, when you said this is a process. We're in a process. You know, if you might want to say what a lot of people went through, and some are still going through, it's a grieving process. And let's just be blunt, you know, on November 4th, I separated myself and said, wait a minute, this isn't right, I realized that we're called to rest in the Lord in the midst of the storm, in the midst of a loss, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of a turnabout. And in my own opinion, what he did with me was prepare me for much worse that's coming. This isn't the only thing that as the body of Christ and his leadership and as those that he entrusts with the word, that we're going to need to be able to stand. And sometimes we just need to be still and know that he's God. And in that stillness, it brought me to one of the points. And the first thing that I've had to deal with is me. How can I deal with anybody else if I can't deal with me? So I'm asking the hard question, and I'm inviting others who have the word to ask the hard question. And don't try to defend something that you can't defend. It's indefensible to say that Donald Trump lost the second election. He lost it, no matter whether it's stolen, no matter what happened. It's indefensible to remove God from the quotient. You know, Romans 13:1 is very clear to us. You know, the Lord is the one who puts authority in places. He establishes the governments, and he tells us to honor that. So we cannot pick and choose what part of the word we like when we pick and choose it. Now, for me, and I'm being as transparent and as blunt, Stephen, as I can in our long-term friendship now, which has spanned over a decade, I think you could at least accuse me of being transparent sometimes to a fault. And in this particular one, you know, I repented before the Lord. Lord, what did I do? How did I get it wrong? I know what I heard you from. And I didn't get answers right away. I got silence, which told me it was time for me to really dig deep and to learn. Get into the word. Don't just look for the revelation of a prophetic word and see. Well, what I was led to was in that silence. If you recall, Elijah the prophet, he tried to get the word of the Lord all over the place, and he finally got it in the still small voice of God after the wind and the howl and everything else that came his way. And that was in response to a false conviction that he had. And his conviction was that he was the last prophet left. There was only one. And then the Lord revealed to him, you don't have it. You don't understand what you're talking about. I have kept a remnant unto myself. Well, obviously, the Lord didn't disclose this remnant to him at a point in time because it was a challenge and a trial for him. For myself, I believe I've gone through a trial and a challenge. And that is, Lord, I don't want to miss you again. What did I do wrong? And in the other instance, Lord, I didn't miss you in so many things. I mean, Steve, you know it. The Lord told specifics about how the first election was going to go. When Donald Trump was a 1% chance of winning and he separated from the pack. And then it brought me back to this. And then I began to see it. March, Super Tuesday, 2016. God turns around. Donald Trump's airplane, a 757. It was supposed to land in Miami and he was going to talk to some people in Doral, Florida, right before Super Tuesday, which was voting both in Florida and Ohio and many other states. Instead, he switched and he came to Youngstown, little Youngstown Airport, where I happen to live. The call came from Corey Lewandowski asking me if I could help organize something in a matter of hours because, quote unquote, the boss has changed his mind. He's coming to Ohio. And we did. And by the grace of God, we pulled it off. And the Lord gave me a prophecy for him. That was March of 2016. Now, some had dropped out, but Ted Cruz was still in and was strong and was still the one everybody thought was going to pull it off. And I handed a letter. And you remember that, Steve. And I handed a note to Corey Lewandowski and to then candidate Donald Trump. And the text of it was this. It was very short. It gave a prophetic word out of Zechariah. It blessed him. And then it said this, that you will be the next president of the United States. Now, listen clearly. There's a condition. If you humble yourself before God. Well, you know what, Steve? What I've learned is what I've taught, but I didn't listen to myself. God is not measured in time like we are. When God says something, we want to put a timeline on it, and we want to capture it in the moment that he said it, and for that part. I should have been wise enough to put it together with the other thing that he said. And that's what he said when POTUS Shield was born at 3:30 a.m. in the morning, November 9th, while you were celebrating in New York, and I was pacing my bedroom in Davie, Florida. And what he said to me was this. He showed me the broom sweeping the Supreme Court, and he told me that that Donald Trump would have three appointments, and I shared that with you. I shared it publicly, and that at that point we knew he had one for sure coming, and Gorsuch got in. We didn't know about the other two, and the third one barely got in by the skin of his teeth, all of us, but it came in, and that was the word of God. He said exactly how he was going to win. I had prophesied months before we got close to the end of the election that there was going to be an upheaval, but God was going to use it to humble him. And that's when the Billy Brush thing came forth. And then we understood. And I said that the Lord had said that something very deep within the intelligence agency would come out and that it would be the thing that would tip the scales for Trump over Clinton. And we knew that came out even with Comey. To this day, it has never been explained how and why he did it. I'm not sure he knows how and why he did it. I believe God did it. So in my perspective, also on November 10th, I announced that the Lord said that Trump would be forming a space force. That was the first day after he was the election. And I had no clue what a space force was. And here it is today, because obviously the Lord knew it was necessary, probably for the safety of the world, let alone of this country, with what was going on with China and Russia and 5GP and everything else that was coming up. Seeing all those things come true, how did I miss the second election? Well, I missed it because I didn't listen to it, and I'm not sure that it's over yet. Yes, it's over. Joe Biden is the president. People need to let go and forget all of this stuff. The truth will come out, but it's not going to undo this election. It may change the way things happen in 2022. But also, Steve, do you remember I told you more than a year ago that the Lord told me to take my eyes off of this election and begin to pray for 2022. But I kept my eyes on this election also, still praying for 2022, not understanding why or what to this day. But also this, he said that in his first season, he would nominate three Supreme Court justices. And I emphasized it. I listened to my own tapes many times, at least a dozen times. I said, not the first term. In his first season, that he would nominate three Supreme Court justices so that we could begin to turn the law of the land back around, that he would nominate many lower court justices to bring the cases and get them up to the Supreme Court. The word was season. there was a condition on the presidency of Donald Trump. And that condition is no different than it has been on anybody. There was a condition on Saul as the king. Saul blew the condition. He lost his anointing. There was a condition that was put on Nineveh. If they repent, God would repent. Jonah didn't like it. Nineveh repented. God repented. Nineveh went back to its sin. God took them out. Abraham, Lord, if I find 50, if I find 20, if I find 10 righteous, yes, I'll change my mind, Abraham, if you will find them. And he was able to take out a few. And that was the end of that. Jesus, this is the one that really got me. This is the one that really got me. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, the Son of God, the Creator himself, by him whom all things are created, who has intense knowledge, God in the flesh. He laments over Jerusalem and cries out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Pharaoh, time and a time again, God went to him and said to Pharaoh, it's time for you to change. He sent his messengers. And the word says over and over, Pharaoh would not heed the word. Steve, how can we expect God? How did I expect God in spite of everything? And let's just be blunt, because I pray that the man humbles his heart and changes things. Who knows? He may have a return. He may not. I'm not saying that yet. But how could we expect God to bless and anoint arrogance and pride that invokes the name of the Lord? And there's the key, that invokes the name of the Lord and that uses the people of God as a political asset. Now, everybody uses the people of God as a political asset. That really became the light in the moral majority. You and I could talk about that. So let's not, you know, be disdain about that too much. But invoking the name of the Lord, God does one thing after another thing. The man had assignments all along, I said, because the Lord told me it's about his assignments. Pro-life, the Supreme Court, the Space Force, moving the embassy to Israel, supporting Israel, not forcing Israel into a two-state nation. You know, Steve, I'm the one who gave him those points for his AIPAC speech back before Super Tuesday. In 2016, he fulfilled those assignments. A lot of the things that God had given him to do, he fulfilled as a checklist. But here's the key. Who got the glory? And who was he taking the glory to? Was he thanking God for it publicly? Was he pointing to God for it? What we saw over and over and over, to the point that it was nostalgic to even those of us who wanted it to happen. We all got tired of his tweets. We got tired of him talking about himself. We got tired of him promoting himself. Well, guess who else? Guess who else got weary with it? God Almighty. He's sovereign. And his word tells us very clearly, I give my glory to no one else. Pride goes before the fall. And a haughty heart, the Lord detests. It even says he hates it.
Very good points. And you're right. Even people like me who admired him, I've written 4 books with his name in the title. But I've said, you know, because I've had conversations similar to this, I've said that it was really about what was happening in America. And, you know, at this point in time, we believe that God raised up this disruptor. And disruptors disrupt. And so I gave him the benefit of the doubt, but you know, some of it was just kind of a brusque New York personality that any of us who've ever been to New York City, you kind of understand that's the culture. And of course, he grew up in the rough and tumble of real estate and construction and everything else. So I'm just explaining that, you know, I sort of gave him the benefit of the doubt, partly because I liked him. But I got tired of it too. And, you know, I would just think, Mr. President, why did you have to say that or do that? But I also can't imagine the pressure that he is under. And I don't know of any other person in America who could have stood up to that. And we know how strong the deep state is. In fact, he's kind of the one that brought it to the forefront. You know, before people would mention that, and it was always put in the category of conspiracy theories. But I had a chapter in my book, God, Trump in the 2020 election, on, evangelicals in Washington before Trump. You know, evangelicals did not show up surrounding the president with Paula White and Donald Trump. You know, going back to the moral majority with Jerry Falwell and certainly with George H.W. Bush, who got elected partly because the evangelicals gathered around him. Doug Weed, who grew up in the Assemblies of God and is a fine Christian believer, was, you know, trying to put forward policies even in the Bush administration. And he told me some stories that are just shocking about how Washington wanted the evangelical vote, and they actually made fun of him behind the scenes and would promise one thing during the election and then do something entirely different. So, you know, this has been going on in Washington, and in some ways, Donald Trump exposed all this. But ultimately, at least looking at it politically, the deep state kind of got him. You know, I mean, they tried and finally it worked. I personally believe, as I said before, that there was some fraud involved. You know, there's probably some fraud in elections. You know, we believe that there was fraud in Cook County in 1960, and that's what made the difference for John F. Kennedy and how different history would have been if that had not happened. But that was, you know, one county, one state, and, you know, there's been election fraud throughout history, but basically we have an honest system. And if it's not honest and if people can't trust it, it's not going to work. And one of my concerns is that, you know, now that the other side has found out that even when there's all kinds of questionable things that ought to be investigated, it's all swept under the rug. And I'm concerned about the future. And, you know, it is a process, as we were talking about. It's really just started. But I also believe, and I did a podcast on this that people can listen to if they're interested, that God has plans and purposes that we don't see. And God has used bad things in the past to turn it around for good. And I'm just believing that there are things that God is wanting to do, even if it's just to wake up the church or spark a revival or bring some of these things to a light so that change can be made. But, you know, there's almost like a depression on the body of Christ. People don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. Everyone seems to be afraid that they're going to be the next one that's canceled if they say anything. You know, it seems like they cancel anyone who even mentioned voter fraud. You know, I wonder if someone's going to take this podcast because I actually said that. It's not the point of the podcast, but, you know, we're kind of mentioning it a little bit. If I'll get canceled over it, I think the chances are probably pretty small. But I mean, just the fact that we would worry about that just shows how great the intimidation is. And Christians cannot be intimidated. We cannot shut up. We cannot crawl into a hole and just hope that Jesus is going to split the clouds open and take us all to heaven and in the rapture, which is kind of a simplistic way to say traditional Pentecostal eschatology. We've got to be strong. We've got to be able to hear from God. We've got to be able to be salt and light. The Bible tells us to be salt and light. And the salt is to preserve. The light is to shine light, like the light of the gospel. But also the salt is to preserve our culture, our society, our nation in a way that salt preserves things like meat. So forgive me for pontificating or preaching a little bit, but I just wanted to kind of throw that in. And as we begin to wrap up this podcast, I want you to see if you can pull everything together and also maybe even discuss some of the things that we should talk about in future podcasts. And before I forget it, I know you're going to do some stuff on POTUS Shield. So before we're done, I want you to tell my listeners how they can find out more about your ministry, connect with POTUS Shield, and hear these words that the Lord has given you.
Yes, what I'd like to do is suggest we do a follow-up and deal with some of the other areas of the topics. We hit the first one, and that is, let each person who gave a prophetic word speak for themselves. Let those who had prophetic words after November 3rd and 4th up until January 6th and 7th speak for themselves. I have spoken for myself, and I understand that we need to be very wise to understand the word of the Lord in lieu of what he actually says, not sometimes in our own perspective. And in this instance, it is a season. And in this instance, it has a condition, and that condition never changed. I thought that the condition had been satisfied when he was elected the first time. But the truth of the matter is that it was a sustaining condition. It was a condition that must be sustained, that this man, Donald Trump, humble himself before God. And what we see now is that he actually gravitated further away in his own egocentrism. Now, I like him. I didn't like him when I first prophesied he should win. I didn't even like him the first time I met him in person because of some of the things, not character issues, just personality issues. But we all became fond of him because of the stands that he made in some instance. But that didn't change the arrogance and the pride. And the second thing, Steve, is that, you know, what is our priority at this point? Yes, we're patriots. We love this country. But we're to have a kingdom mentality. And the focus of the church and the active leaders became more swayed by what Donald Trump had to say or not say every day than what we were supposed to be doing and are supposed to be doing. And that is preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. One of the blessings out of this fanaticism that grew out of 2016 and into this next election was how so many people were brought together from the four corners of the earth. I participated in meeting after meeting, Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting, of people praying and fasting for the election here and for God to move and for pro-life and et cetera, et cetera. My prayer is that unity doesn't stop, but it coalesces again with the same passion and spirit for the kingdom and for us to be those preparing the way for the kingdom of God. And then something else that we should deal with, Steve, in a subsequent dialogue, potentially, is the church. Well, let's face it, the leadership and those around that had access to Donald Trump, access became more important than the message that was going out, and the message began to get streamlined to the access instead of vice versa. And there were a few gatekeepers. I'm not going to name them. You know who they are. You know at least one or two of them. I know who they are. They determined who came in and out of that gate and in that faith circle. And that faith circle was not speaking a prophetic word to the man. That faith circle was basically reaffirming the things he wanted to hear, not necessarily that he needed to hear. And what happened? We had a lot of people come out and say that COVID was going to disappear miraculously at Easter and then at Pentecost. And so this man, Donald Trump, who had found some excitement in the prophetic word that others like myself and that had placed in his hands and had come true, he followed it. So he came out and he said, there's going to be a miracle by Easter. There's going to be a miracle by Pentecost. And it became a fallacy. And it was a false word. And it was a word that should have been, the gatekeeper should have allowed the right word to get to him. And one of them was a deputy director. And she was adamant to keep myself and a few of us away. And that disserved him. It was a disservice, and it was based upon flesh and political means. I know this from the inside. And then the church, you know, we set him up, leadership and all, set him up almost as an idol. And people were talking more about Trump than they were about Jesus and God. So when, you know, what did Jesus say? You know, you could serve one and the other you'll hate and the one you will love. Well, he doesn't mean hate. It translates in the word to mean that it will be the one that you love less. Did we love God less than we love Trump at a moment? Did we set it up to where God had to show us again who's God and who's sovereign and where our heart and love is supposed to be? I think a message comes down to the church. And finally this, you know, not everybody's going to be hot. There's a lot of lukewarm. I think God just showed a whole bunch of lukewarm, and he's calling us again to be those who are calling people to be hot and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. I am not discrediting myself as one who receives a prophetic word. I am challenging myself to be able to even press in deeper and further to see beyond what I see, to hear beyond what I hear, and to learn and understand from this. Finally, this, God said with Donald Trump in his first season, is there another season coming? I'll leave it with that question. And yes, invite you to tune in and to stay involved. I will be releasing a POTUS alert and message. You may do that by just going to www.potusshield.com or you can just text on your phone 313131 and type in small case, the word POTUS Shield, all one word, POTUSSHIELD. And finally, this, I am praying more for Joe Biden and his administration and Kamala Harris right now, moved by the Spirit of God, than I prayed for Donald Trump. That's what we're called to do, and it's needed. We're not to hate the man. We're not allowed to hate the man. God chose the man. We must love him and love everybody that we consider may not even walk the way we walk. And I think God's teaching us that again too, Stephen. We can't be those who pick and choose whom we want to love.
Boy, that's a good word, and we'll leave it there and pick it up in another week or so. I want to thank my listeners for tuning in today to the Strang Report. I want to thank Frank again for the service, really, that you are to the body of Christ. And I want to thank you for being my friend all these years. So tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.